What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God, stay right with God, and find victory and maturity in Christ Jesus. Today, we're talking about what is fornication and is premarital sex a sin? So there are people out saying that fornication does not include premarital sex, and they're trying to prove that from the Bible and basically state that two consenting adults can have sex before marriage, and God doesn't have a problem with that. It's not a sin. It's not God's best, but it's not a sin. And so there are people teaching this, and it's going around, and they're using scriptures, and it makes it seem like as if somehow, once again, we've been duped by the Catholic Church to believe something else about the Bible that's not true. So I'm going to show you in scripture what they're talking about, and then show you from the Bible whether or not this is true. So here's what they do. Coming from the King James Bible, fornication is mentioned 35 times. Okay, and so they say, well, what is fornication? If you look up fornication, you'll see that it translates to sexual immorality. And you can use a, you know, Strong's Concordance for that. Go into the original Hebrew or Greek or whatever, you'll get sexual immorality. So in the New King James Version of the Bible, everywhere fornication is, it's translated sexual immorality. So they just automatically update it. You know, and in newer translations, they don't use the word fornication, they use the word sexual immorality. So they believe that that's the better translation rather than fornication. So what then is sexual immorality? Because that's vague. It just means something is sexually immoral. So what these people are doing is they're going to Leviticus 18 and they're saying, here's the list of sexual immoral acts. If you go through that chapter, I'm not going to read it, but there's three ones that come out, three different sexual acts that are considered forbidden, you know, inappropriate, whatever. The first one is bestiality. The second one is incest. And they give all these different variations for who you shouldn't have sex with in your family. And then homosexuality. So two of them are substantiated in other passages of the Bible. In the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 7, it talks about fornication and then them having fornication. And then it mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it starts off talking about a man that was found in the church having sex with his father's wife. And we know that's incest. According to the book of Leviticus, they give you, you know, don't have sex with your father's wife. You don't have sex with any of his wives, et cetera, et cetera. So we know that sexual immorality covers bestiality, it covers incest, and it covers homosexuality. All right. So they say, well, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, there is no mention of premarital sex. Why doesn't it say thou shalt not have sex with, if you're a single man or a single woman, you can't have sex with somebody else that's single, whatever. They don't say anything like that. So they say, based off of that, premarital sex is not a sin. Obviously, there's other passages that talk about that. We're going to get there. But their second proof of evidence, they say, well, Samson, in the book of Judges, chapter 16, verses 1, he had sex with a whore, a prostitute. And I believe the prostitute was not in Israel, but in another, you know, foreign country that he was passing through. I think the Philistines, one of the Philistine countries or whatever. Is that correct?
Gaza.
Yeah, Gaza. So they say based off of that, you know, God never, you know, reprimanded Samson for that. He never said, Samson, what are you doing having sex with that whore? That's premarital sex. Or you paying for that? That's wrong. None of that. So based off of that, because God didn't have a problem with Samson having sex with this whore, which is premarital sex, you know, two consenting adults having sex, single people, by the way, then God is okay with it, all right? So what does God say about premarital sex? Because the Bible does mention it. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verses 28 and 29. And it says, if a man find a damsel, that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, meaning she's not married, she's not engaged, and lay hold of her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he humbled her. And this word humble here means to violate. He may not put her away all his days. All right. It is a similar verse that's referenced in Exodus, which says the same thing. Exodus chapter 22, Verses 16, it says, and if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, once again, she's not married, she's not engaged, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. So what we have here is a scenario where a man seduces a woman, and that's how it's translated in other Bible versions. Basically, two consenting adults. She didn't struggle, nothing like that. And this is not a rape here. People are saying, oh, this is a rape, and it's not a rape, okay? Back then, women just, they did not initiate sex or anything like that, okay? Okay, so that's what's happening here. A guy is approaching a woman who's not married. He's single himself, and he's saying, hey, what's up? And I can't even say he's single because it doesn't mention that. But the fact of the matter is they mention her status. She's single. She's not engaged to anybody. He has sex with her. If they be found, he has to marry her and pay the father 50 shekels of silver because he humbled her and may not put her away all his days. All right. So the humble means is it's a violation. You cannot have sex with a woman prior to marriage. That's a violation. Okay. A woman should be married and having sex. That's what's being stated here. Now, there's no commandment to kill anybody or anything of that nature, but we see here the guy is instructing Moses and, you know, the Israelites through the law that the woman must be married. So they don't like sex outside of marriage. God doesn't like that. So here we have this going on, and they're told the man must pay the price for the bride and marry her, and he can't divorce her all his days. Okay, that's what it says here. Do not put her away for all his days. So what this rule is stating to men is, hey, man, if you go have sex with a woman before she, you know, without marriage, you're going to have to marry her. Y'all better not get caught. Because if y'all get caught, yo, you're going to have to marry her and you got to pay that money up. And see, that cut down on premarital sex. Okay. And quite frankly, there was never really dating going on in Israel. Dating is a very new phenomenon in America, particularly. Most countries, they didn't date. They just simply married off their daughters to men. It was no dating process where people just going around hooking up and playing around sexually and all that kind of stuff. It was none of that, okay? But we see here, if that happened, if a guy just seen an attractive single woman and wanted to have sex with her, God said, oh, I don't like that. Oh, we ain't having that. So I want to show you another verse here. Deuteronomy 22, we're still in the same chapter. Verses 13 through 21. It says, if a man take a wife and go unto her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid or a virgin. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he have given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of the city shall take the man and chastise him. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, punish him or fine him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he had brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. But if this thing be true, okay, she's not a virgin on the marriage day, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she has wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shall thou put away evil from among you. All right. So we got to see a scenario here is that some men would do this. They would claim that, oh, my wife is not a virgin because he don't like her no more. For whatever reason, he want to lie and say she's not a virgin. But there was always proof of it on the marriage day because the girl would bleed on the sheets. And somehow the parents caught him and the sheets were delivered to the, I don't know how that worked. So somehow they had tokens of her virginity. So if this man would say this evil thing about his wife, saying that she was not a virgin, they would present tokens of virginity. And then from there, he would get fined 100 shekels. And then he would have to stay with the woman all his days. And this is the thing about virginity. And that's why God, I'm showing you how God feels about premarital sex. All right. But if they found her to be not a virgin, so she basically lying, saying, yeah, I'm a virgin, whatever. He go into her. He found that this girl got experience. There ain't no blood, X, Y, Z. And there's no proof of her virginity. Then she gets burned. Why? Not because she was a whore, as if they say, playing the whore, but because she lied, basically. Okay, if she was upfront about it, saying, hey, I'm not no virgin, they probably wouldn't have been a problem. But the fact that she was lying. But why would she lie? Because the standard was virgin women. All the women had to be virgins. And so in this instance, this woman could have been a woman who had sex with some guy on the side. They just didn't get caught. You see? So premarital sex was something frowned upon in Israel. And yet we still don't see where it's saying it's a sin in you of that nature. The sin here was the woman lied about her virginity. Okay? But we see that virginity was important for women back then, and it still is today. And we'll talk about why that's so important. So I want to go back to, let me just talk about this whore thing, because, you know, they didn't like whores either. I'm going to start in Leviticus. And a whore, obviously, we know that this is a woman who is selling sex for money. I'm going to go to Leviticus 19:29. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 29, it says, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. So it just tells you that premarital sex, particularly selling sex, will cause the land to be falling to wickedness. So it's a commandment not to sell your daughter. Don't have no whoredoms going on. Don't be selling pussy, okay? No prostitution, no harlots, none of that. Don't do that, okay? And we know that that's still considered premarital sex. However, that's a different kind of sex because it's paid. It's not necessarily where it's two people just want to pleasure each other. It's a financial transaction. But I just want to bring it out that God has a problem with that. He says, don't do that. That's against the law. All right. Here's some more passages here about playing the whore, because you don't necessarily have to be a whore. Now, see, there's two terms in the Bible. There's a whore and there's playing the whore. Playing the whore is basically a woman who she ain't selling sex, but she's having sex before marriage. She's doing something that is like a whore, because that's what whores do. OK, there's no marriage covenant with a whore. She's selling sex. Okay, so a woman who's doing the same thing, but she's not doing a transaction, they call it playing the whore. She's not a whore, she's playing the whore. And today in society, a lot of women are playing the whore. They got boyfriends, they having sex with them. It's no financial transaction. She's not on the street advertising, but it's what we would consider playing the whore. Okay, and some people flat out call them whores, but it's properly termed playing the whore. Let's go back to Leviticus, I think, and see what that says. Leviticus 21:7. All right, so here's some more rules from the law. They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. So here's some more rules here. Don't take a whore. Okay, why? Because these are not good women. These are women who've had a lot of guys go through them. And we'll talk about this, you know, why whoredom and premarital sex is just a terrible thing. OK, but yet we still have not seen where there's two consensual adults having sex. How is that a sin against God? See, we still haven't seen that yet. But we just want to first just show you how what God feels about this. So he says, Leviticus 21:7, they shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane. And it says, neither take a woman put away or a divorce from her husband. So we see what Jesus talked about that. We talked about that before. What is adultery? That's what's considered adultery, when you take a woman that's already been married and she's currently put away from her husband that's still alive. OK, so he's saying these are the stipulations, but I just want to focus on how they continue to say, don't take a whore. OK, they had a problem with whores. They had a problem with premarital sex. OK, let me continue on here. Genesis 38:24, it says here, and it came to pass about 3 months after, that this is before the law of God, that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, have played the harlot. Once again, we played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. So they had the law prior to, in their minds, they felt that just was wrong. Any woman doing that, she should be married, okay? And now she got a child. Where did this child come from? We don't know the father. Now, we found out who the father was. She was playing around and she did this to get pregnant. But the fact of the matter is, is they call her, she's played the harlot. Okay. They don't like that. God doesn't like that. Okay. He doesn't like women having sex before marriage. He doesn't like sex outside of marriage. So, you know, that's their view on harlots. So the next thing is what, let me show you from scripture how premarital sex is fornication. So while Leviticus 18 doesn't explicitly state people having consensual sex that are single, it is alluded to. If you just read the passages in context, you'll see this. All right. So let's go to the New Testament, because it probably wasn't even, there may have been some penalty back then, but now it's considered fornication, or it's considered sexual immorality at this point. In the New Testament, it's clear. And so let me show you 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now concerning the things wherefore ye wrought unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman or have sexual relations with a woman." Of course, I'm reading from the King James Version. And it says, verse 2, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every man have her own husband." All right. So here we have a rule here that we should follow. Okay. To avoid fornication, let every man and woman have their own spouse. All right. What do you think fornication means here? Do you think these Christians here, in this case, were struggling with having sex with animals, children, homosexuality, or just with each other? So they're single. They're kind of looking at each other. They're not married. He's saying to avoid fornication, he says, marry. All right. So I believe based off this passage here, it's clear that fornication includes premarital sex. Yeah, they could be struggling with incest, because we also read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5, that a man was having sex with his father's wife. All right. So given the times and the environment they were in, perhaps that was the case. But I don't see the majority of Christians struggling with incest, homosexuality, or bestiality. All right. It was simply another single Christian that they're looking at and desiring them. Just like we talked about what is lust and, you know, whether or not it's a sin. These were single people walking around. He's saying, look, y'all can marry to avoid fornication. All right. So what is fornication at this point? Or what is sexual immorality at this point? It is premarital sex. It's included in that. All right. Here's another one verse to show you that premarital sex is fornication. This is the big one here. John chapter 8, verses 41. This is the Pharisees taking shots at Jesus. And they responded, "Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." So he took a shot at Jesus and said Jesus was born of fornication. Because Jesus, you know, who's Jesus' father? They say, you don't even know your father. This is the thing that was going around about Jesus back in the day. We know that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's how Mary got pregnant and had him. The Holy Spirit conceived him. So his father is God. Okay. But they want to say, well, you don't know who your father was. And we know what Joseph did, because his woman to Mary came up with child prior to him even entering her. Once again, back then, they didn't do no premarital sex because it was wrong. And he said, what is my wife to be? She's betrothed. We're in an engagement period, basically. But this is my wife. What's she doing pregnant? So he's about to put her away. We read the passages, and we'll talk about those later on in another sermon. To this day, everybody knows that Joseph is not the actual father of Jesus. So they say, well, you know, they didn't want to acknowledge that God the Father was his father. So they taking shots at him. So what is fornication then here? They say, we not born of fornication. In other words, I know who my daddy is. Who's yours? They're implying that Jesus's mother, Mary, had a baby out of wedlock. In other words, she had a baby by another man. In other words, they weren't married. It was premarital sex. That's how he came into being. That's what they're saying. So what is fornication then here? It's sexual immorality, and fornication is being defined right here. And it is premarital sex. So it includes that. So you can go back to the list of what sexual immorality is. It's bestiality. It's incest. It's homosexuality. And it's premarital sex. Okay. The New Testament or the New Covenant probably updated it. That's what I see in the passages here. 1 Corinthians 7 tells you that that's what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 1 states that if you to avoid fornication, let every man and wife, you know, woman have their own spouse. What are they struggling with? What are they trying to avoid? Bestiality? They're trying to avoid incest? They're trying to avoid homosexuality? Not necessarily. These are born again Christians, single. They're just trying to avoid premarital sex. That's it. So to avoid premarital sex, get married. Once again, in the book of John, Jesus was being accused of being, they're pretty much taking your mama joke basically against Jesus and saying your mother, you know, was with a man that she wasn't married to. Okay. And that's considered fornication. That's why they use the word fornication here or sexual immorality. So there you have it. Premarital sex is fornication. It's included in the list of things that are sexually immoral. So why is sex before marriage immoral? Why do people go to hell for this if they continue to practice it without confession and repentance? All right. Why is this? Well, we find this answer here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. It says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sitteth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's, which are God's." All right, so this is the reason why sex before marriage is immoral, particularly what's happening here. They're saying that you become a member of the harlot. He said, you know, you're supposed to be a member of Christ, but now you become a member. This is what's happening in sex, okay? You're joining as one flesh. Sex is only meant for marriage, people who want to join together. But if you want to join together with a harlot or some other person, that's what's happening to you. And this is where the concept of soul ties can be related to. A lot of people say, well, you have sex with somebody, you got a soul tie. Your soul, which is comprised of your mind, your will, and the emotions, you have a connection with them now. They have a piece of you. There are songs where people are singing about, you know, like Mariah Carey, I've used that example in the past in a previous article about sex. She says in a song, "Since you left, you took a part of me." Okay. That's really what's happening in the spiritual realm when people have sex and they break up. Okay, that's why premarital sex is a bad idea. When you have sex and y'all not together and y'all walk away, that person takes a part of you with them. Okay, a part of your soul, a part of your mind, your will, your emotions. Okay, we see here in the passages here that they become a member of a harlot. So a member is a part of. If you're part of a membership, there's a bunch of people, a part of something. Okay, he's saying don't be a member of a harlot. Don't have a part of your soul with that woman that you're not married to, in this case, a harlot, but another woman that's you just consensually having sex with. Don't put a part of your soul with her unless you're married to her. This is the reasoning why premarital sex is not a good idea. All right. And why it's considered a sin here. It's not healthy at all. And you're joining yourself with this person. Okay. You're intertwining your soul. That's why people, when they break up, they start thinking about the other person. One woman said, that her breath smelled the same as her former boyfriend. She would breathe sitting on the bed or something thinking, and then her breath smelled the same. It was some weird stuff where part of his soul was still in her. And this is what sex is for, the joining of two people. So you can't go around having sex with people for casual pleasure's sake and not to expect these consequences. That's why God said you misusing sex. So that's why premarital sex is a sin. That's why it's listed under sexual immorality. It's fornication. You shouldn't be practicing that. Okay. Aside from your soul being fractured, because that's what's happening. Part of you are being taken to that other person, and just extend that by how many partners you have. You have sex with 10 people, 10 people got part of your soul. And it's, and wherever they at in the world, because they're no longer with you, that's where you're at. So you're scattered in your mind. And this is more painful or hard, you know, hard for women, particularly because men are givers. They give when they have sex. Their organs are pointed out while the woman is receiving. So women, especially when they're virgins, when they first have sex with a man, it may not be their husband. They think in their mind, that's my man. I'm going to be with him for life. Even though they may not like him or whatever, that taught them, their body, that that's for him. She's for him for life. The man don't necessarily feel that way. He can go around doing that to a bunch of women and still have some sanity in their mind. But when a woman goes out and about having sex with multiple men, it scatters her brain, okay? To where she has all these different personalities floating around in her soul. And that's why she feels the way she feels about things. She's not necessarily a stable person, which is why men don't want women who are not virgins, because that woman is considered polluted. She has a bunch of men in her with different agendas, different mindsets and emotions floating around. And so it's hard for him to bring her on as a helpmate, because she got all these different mindsets of what she want to do floating around because she had sex with all these different men. That's why men want virgins, all right? So that's the main reason. This joining, this membership, this one flesh that happens with sex. It's only for people who are going to be together in a marriage union. You can't play with this. But Satan has taught us, particularly men, the more women you have sex with, the more it makes you a man. No, it don't, man. All it does is scatter your soul as a man. You're giving parts of yourself, your strength, to all these different women who are no longer around you. They're not helping you. So you're giving your best life to all these different women. Okay, you ought to be giving to your wife that you made a covenant with. That way you don't lose your strength. Your strength is with you. She's always by your side. So you don't lose strength through having sex with your wife. But when you do it with all these whores or women who are playing the whore, that's how you waste your life like that. So that's why it's a sin. That's why you can go to hell if you continue to practice it without, you know, confession and repentance and all that kind of stuff. And today, now women, you know, because they're trying to be like men, they're going around talking about, I got a rotation of men. You know, I got about 4 or 5 guys I'm having sex with, you know, and I got them bouncing them around. And they think, and they just tearing their soul up. Because it's worse for women. I've even read, and I may link it in the sermon notes, that DNA of the man is written on the woman. The man don't get the woman on him in that capacity. His actual DNA is written in her DNA now. Toward the end of their life, you can kind of see two old people. They marry, their faces look the same a little bit. It's like, what's up with that? You know, that could be because of the DNA being transferred over time through sex. You know, they've been married for so long. And so this is some powerful stuff, and we can't play around with sex. This is not something casually, something that you can just do. You know, God is teaching us that this is not what we should be doing. All right. So finally, this is the dealings and the consequences for sex outside of marriage and people who do all this stuff. Let's talk about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. It says here, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one do not eat. All right? So first, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. So we are told, don't hang out with so-called Christians who are practicing fornication. Don't even eat with them. All right? Don't keep company with them. All right? He said, the ones out in the world, you can't do nothing about. Your coworker, you know that's a fornicator, you can't do nothing about them. Okay, but your so-called brother in Christ, sister in Christ, you know they're doing that, they're shacking up. You can't hang out with them, don't even eat with them. So we're told this, okay? Well, let's stay in Corinthians. Let's go over another chapter. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Point blank and simple, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it says here, do not be deceived. There are people who think they can practice fornication and still be accepted by God and go into heaven. Okay? They can be married or they can be shacked up with their girlfriend or boyfriend for life and still somehow go to heaven. No, you're not. Don't be deceived. People have this belief, this once safe, always safe thing where they can go around and just have sex with different people. But because God knows my heart and because I said a prayer back in 97, I'm okay with God and everything is fine. You know, and I'm a good person and God knows me and I'm gonna go to heaven anyway. No, the Bible says do not be deceived. So he was trying to tell the Corinthians, don't be deceived. Don't think because you practice fornication that God is okay with you. No, you are not right with God. You're in danger. And if you continue to practice this, if you don't repent of your sins, you will go to hell. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. Let's go to Colossians 3:5. It goes on to say here, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. It goes on to say, for which things saith the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So the children of disobedience, the sinners in the world, they're going to get the wrath of God. So he's telling you, don't be like them. All right. Don't practice fornication. And what is fornication including? It's concluding bestiality, incest, homosexuality, and now premarital sex, which will also include you having sex with a whore, which is, you know, paid sex as well. All right. All of that's fornication. All of that is considered sexual immorality. I got one more passage for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. All right. So he's telling you multiple times, don't do this. Okay, so for all these people out here teaching that premarital sex is not a sin, it's okay, God is fine with it. It may not be God's perfect will for you, but it's acceptable. It's not a sin. Anybody telling you that is a liar. They are trying to deceive you. Do not practice fornication. If you are practicing fornication, stop, confess your sins and repent. Be washed clean in the blood of Jesus. God will clean you up. You'll be fine. If you feel that you have soul ties, which you probably do if you haven't went to God about prior sexual encounters with people, pray to Jesus and ask him to sever those soul ties, okay? You will no longer be a member of those people. You will no longer have that joining with those people from your past. He will clean all that up. His blood will wash away all of that. And you will have a clear mind where you don't have to be thinking about previous sexual partners and things like that. It's not to say you're going to forget those people, but you won't have that connection that's popping up in your mind every now and then. And you, those feelings and those emotions and your wills, you know, being altered and stuff like that. If you got Jesus Christ, he's going to clean all that out and help you to have a sound mind and you'll be fine. You know, so don't think because you had all these multiple partners of the past that something's wrong with you and that's it. No, God can fix that. All right. Finally, I want to say 2 points. All women don't bleed on when their virginity is broken. I found that out through a study. All women don't, you know, they just don't have bleeding or something like that. So for people trying to look for, oh, she's not a virgin because she didn't bleed. Well, it don't always happen that way. So that's just a side note there. That's all I got for you guys. Till next time, walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you self-control and it helps you to stay away from fornication. So till next time, be blessed.